I can't believe I have to say this again. But from the time I spent praying in the office to the time we spent praying together corporately, I firmly believe that you guys have access to my sermon somehow. I love the way God just says, James, you're on the right task. So let's pray before we begin. Father, I thank you for this time that we set apart to worship you. I thank you that you're an awesome God, that you know all things, that you're ever present, that you never change, that you are God, and above you there is no other. God, I pray that you would fill this place with your Spirit, that your Spirit would minister to our spirits, that we would be open and receptive to the things discussed this evening, this morning. I just ask that you go before me, empty myself of myself. And may I fearlessly and boldly proclaim this message. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So have you ever had one of those weeks? Have you ever had one of those months? Have you ever had one of those years? For me, 2023 has been quite the year. I will tell you, my hope has been renewed because of the verses I read in Hebrews chapter 7. Verses 24 and 5 tell us, listen, because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. Because he always lives to intercede for them. Do you understand, if we want to be successful in this life, it's been testified this morning, we don't do it in our own strength. The truth is, the gospel has not lost its power. It remains just as strong as it was 2,000 years ago. Does anyone agree with me in that? Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. I think most here believe. And because of that, we're to take an action. We're not to just come to church every Sunday, do a couple nice things throughout the week. We are to be living testimonies for the God of the universe. Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Do you believe that that verse stands true to this day? Why is it people are not coming to Christ? Please help me know. God's ability has not lessened, right? His promise has not changed in 2,000 years, yes? So the problem is not with him, but with us. In our humanness, we come up with excuses as to why we're not sharing the gospel of Christ. And if we, in and of our own accord, don't listen, the devil will do his best to make us remain silent. Here are some common excuses people tend to use for not sharing the gospel. Maybe you agree or disagree with this one. I don't know what verses to share. Of the 18 gospel verses we looked at last week, which ones do you remember? Share those. It's that simple. God will never ask you to share that which you do not possess. So if you've committed to memory one verse from the 31,102 verses that make up the Bible, share that one. And then share what it means to you. And how that verse has impacted your life. Please don't be misguided into thinking you need to be some sort of theologian or have some formula to share the gospel. For me, one of the most impactful verses I have taken from the Bible is found in the first book, Genesis. In the fourth chapter, the seventh verse, this is where the Lord is having a conversation with Cain. Remember, there's four people on the planet. A quarter of the people on the planet goes bad. Right? When I read this verse, verse number 7, it changed my life. And it changed my life for the better. Listen to what was said in verses 6 and 7. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast?" Verse 7. "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires you, but you must rule over it." But you, put your name there. But you, James, must rule over that sin that is crouching at your door. It desires you. We get to say no. Talk about an aha moment. You know, my hope is that in sharing that verse with someone, it may impact their life the same way it impacted mine when I read it. You know, the Holy Spirit did the leading. I did the reading. And when opportunity arises, I have the privilege of doing the sharing. Read Genesis 4 today, just in your spare time. See how messed up the world is and see how much God wants to intercede on our behalf. Look, I do the sharing, but the Holy Spirit is the one who does the moving of the heart from one point to the next. I've done that verse for a lot of years, and it's been molding and shaping me for a lot of years. And if you take that verse and you share it with somebody today at lunch, it might impact their life. Wow. Please don't ever put off telling someone about how God's Word has impacted your life. So be honest this morning. Do you ever find yourself cowering behind the words, "I don't know what to say. Can't share my faith because I don't know what to say"? It's not that difficult. Just tell your story. Give the testimony of how you came to know of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and what He means in your life. It doesn't have to be complicated. Share the simple truth of the gospel that somebody shared with you. What is it that someone said to you that made you come to understand you need to be saved? Share that. The Lord doesn't expect you to give an account of what you don't have. Do you have a salvation story? Do you have a salvation account? Some people know the hour, the day, the place, the smells. Paul says in Romans 1, 15 and 16, "That's why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." Can you think of someone in your life right now who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord? Will you tell them what someone told you? And if no one told you, you grab me by the shoulder and say, "James, I need to know." It's God's Spirit that does the work. Sticking to your experience eases the conversations you have the opportunity to have with someone. Stick to what you know, because you can't share what you don't know. Too many people hide behind the sentence, "I don't know how to answer the questions." Me neither. Well, who knows what the question is going to be, so why wouldn't you have the conversation? When you come to realize your job is not to debate or outtalk whomever you're sharing the gospel with, the conversations go far better. It's not that I'm sharing how brilliant I am. Our task is to point people to Christ. The Holy Spirit does the rest. It's not our job. Jesus takes all the pressure off of us because of the truth of John 12:32. We read, "And I," that's Jesus, "and I, when I'm lifted up from the earth," listen, "will draw people to myself." James won't draw people to Christ. The Holy Spirit does the work. We pray every Sunday that open hearts, unhardened hearts, would be open and receptive to receive His Word. This is why I rely on Scripture, because my Word won't change anyone's life. Our job is to tell of what Christ has done on our behalf. He lived. He died. Wait, He rose again. Yes. Gospel. What is that? 2, 4, 6, 7 words. The gospel in 7 words. How cool is that? You and I both know that this truth is quite a bit for most people to comprehend. Yes. And so we fall victim to the voice that says, "I don't know how they'll respond." I mean, it is quite the message. Yes. Like some guy died for you because he loves you and all you have to do is believe. What? I have 2 heads. Well, I don't want people to think I have 2 heads. It doesn't matter. Listen, God's not going to hold you accountable with regards to their response. He's holding you accountable to your action or inaction. Their response is not our responsibility. You and I are called to share the gospel in a spirit of love and in the power of the Holy Spirit. The whole time I was writing this sermon, I'm like, where am I going to put the prayer? And God is saying, pray right now, James. If you're going to go out and do your ministry, you have better prayed. Because if you're trying to operate in your own strength, with your own agenda, now, how come I talk about Jesus all the time and nothing happens? Did you pray? Did you ask God to go before you? It's God who gives the increase. This is what 1 Corinthians 3:5-7 says. I love this. We're only God's servants through whom you believe the good news. Each of us did the work the Lord gave us to do. Paul says, "I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow." It's not important who does the planting or does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. Where's my responsibility? He does the work. I do the tallying every week. Come on, James, do I really have to? Yeah. Are you a child of God? Well, here's an excuse that always carries. I use it all the time. I don't speak well. Well, I think Moses said that too. He actually had a speech impediment.
Yeah.
There's a little. That's justifiable. Whether you're a good speaker or not, the power is not in your ability to speak. It's in the power of the message itself. I'm not blowing smoke here. What I preach changes lives for eternity. And guess what? If you say God's word, according to God's word, it has the power to change. It's between joint and marrow. Does some work. God's word doesn't return empty. According to God's word, it accomplishes what James said. It accomplished what he set it out to do. And he set the word in my mouth, and I'm spewing it all over you, and I'm hoping that it'll land on you, and you'll take it up and share it with somebody else. Because I'm not going to save the planet by myself. But I'm going to tell as many people as I can, kicking and screaming, that they need Jesus. It is the truth that sets people free. So what does John 8:32 say? Oh, happy day. It says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We do know. Do we know the references? That's where I fall very short. I know the words. I don't know where they live. And that's why when you're 5 years old, they say, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. That's why we say that the reference, the verse, the reference. Because if I can't remember the words, let's remember the numbers. It helps. The message that needs to be proclaimed fearlessly and boldly is come to know Jesus, and Jesus will set you free. That's what John 8:32, the code. Truth is Jesus. How difficult is that to proclaim? One of the responsibilities of a Christian, follower of Christ, disciple, or whatever you want to call yourself, is to share the gospel. Is to share your faith. Do you believe? Have you received? Who will you tell?
I ain't telling nobody. I don't know the verses. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to respond.
The charge is found in Matthew 28. Have an idea where we're going here? It's known as the Great Commission, right? And what is the Great Commission? Go into the world. Pastor. Missionary. No one else. If you have accepted Christ, you're expected by God to go into the world. And see, I read this verse and this is how it impacted my life. Genesis 4:7 blew my brain up. I have to do something. I have to master my sin because it desires me. And it wants me to fall. And I want to stand strong. And the only way I can is in the power of the Holy Spirit. See you next week. Oh no, we're only about halfway. Where people tend to struggle is how to actually accomplish the mission. How do you share your faith? I'm a man who likes to keep things as simple as possible. This is what I do. Be a friend. Jesus often ate with sinners and tax collectors. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what the content of his conversations may have been, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't preaching the whole time he was with them. If you show a person you genuinely care about them and their situation, when the Holy Spirit opens the opportunity, they'll be more willing to receive your message of the gospel because you will have demonstrated your love and concern for them. These people that stand on a street corner with a bullhorn, to what point and purpose? People don't know the name Jesus. Jesus walked with people. This may seem unproductive, but what it does is it opens a line of communication. We know Jesus is the answer to life's problems, yes? So it would be a good idea to know something of the problems these people are experiencing so that you can say Jesus will help you in this area. You're not going to get to this most important point in the conversation without taking time to listen. So don't bulldoze the conversation, say Jesus this, Jesus that, and these and those, and this verse and that. Listen to the person. Follow the Holy Spirit's prompting. This is why we need to hide God's word in our heart. Because who's sitting at the diner in the restaurant with your Bible there? I witness with what God gives to me. Some within the sound of my voice might be thinking, well, I'm not qualified to share my faith. Why? Because, well, I don't know a lot of scripture. Maybe because you don't have the Romans Road memorized. And so you feel unqualified or disqualified. I want to tell you that's not true. That is this lie from Satan. If that's how you feel, I want you to read today, John chapter 4. That's your homework assignment. I don't feel adequate. I can't do it. Well, read John chapter 4, because this is a fantastic example of how Jesus very simply created an open door to share the message of the gospel. Learn from the master. I encourage you to read it. John chapter 4 is the account of Jesus talking with a woman at the well. Maybe it's familiar. But at verse 29, we hear this woman's message. The message of the gospel. Come, see the man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Messiah? That's it. No 4 points to salvation. No Romans Road. No spectacular gospel message. Just come see a man. Why do we seem to think it has to be complicated when it's so simple? It was her personal testimony, her experience with Jesus that made the difference. And what a difference it made. And that's true for you too. Your testimony matters. People will listen to your story of how you came to Jesus. And most importantly, they can't take that away from you, so don't be afraid to share it. It's your testimony. And it has power. You don't know how it's going to, what impact it's going to make. In John 4, at verse 39, we read of what happened in Samaria because of the woman. This is what we read. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because the woman's testimony. What was the testimony? He told me everything I did. Your testimony matters. Let people know what Jesus has done in your life, is doing in your life. Sometimes that's all it takes for someone to come to faith in Jesus. Unfortunately, sometimes Jesus is given a bad name. The perception of Jesus to some is he's angry. He's judgmental. He's ready to condemn and send you to hell. Is that the Jesus and God you know? Unfortunately, this is too often how Christians are viewed. Bullhorn guy on the street. Not a good way to share a testimony that saves lives. So how do we change his perception? Oh, this is great. You want to write this one down. Live a life that demonstrates the love of God. Two people that care. That's awesome. And live in such a way that you're bringing glory and honor to God. He'll use you mightily. Jesus teaches in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. At some point in his life, Peter got the message, because he says in 1 Peter 2:12, live such good lives among the pagans, those who don't know God or Christ, live such good lives among pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. Could it be possible that the advancement of the gospel could be tied to our actions and our good deeds? St. Francis of Assisi said, witness every day. And if you have to, use words. I alter that a little bit. Witness every day. And if you have to, as a last resort, use words. Actions speak louder, right? I'm terrified of the 12-hour drive I have to do because my driving skills may not be the best testimony. There's a sign above the door here that has been above the door that goes to the parking lot. This one here. Has anyone read it? I know it's been there for 4 years. It says, because it's hard to read, live in such a way that those who know you but don't know God will come to know God because they know you. Father, thank you that you have called us by name. And we've responded, I suppose. Only you know, because you look at the heart. Human beings look at the outward appearance. God, I pray that you would fill us with a boldness and a courage that only comes from you. That we would take serious the charge you have placed before each true follower of Christ. Go into the world and share the gospel with every living creature. God, strike the match that lights the fire in your church. Your Christ Little Papa Huck and St. Thomas Host and the church worldwide. Mm-hmm. God, forgive us our sins and heal our land. Mm-hmm. Amen.